Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the second chapter of the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. Appreciate everybody's here. Good-looking crowd, praise God, except the three of you, amen, but you're all right. And I won't tell you which one you are, and you won't have to worry about it.
I've gone
amen. Oh, well, maybe I wasn't talking about you, brother, amen. But anyhow, I'm telling you this morning, good to be in the house of God. Good to be in the house of God. Acts chapter number 2. Second chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to turn to verse number 14. I'm going to read 3 or 4 verses there and then jump down and read 2 or 3 verses down in another place, please. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now skip down with me, please, down to verse number 37. It said in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I'm going to read verse 37 one more time. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for a privilege we have to be at the house of God. It's a blessing, Lord, just to be saved by your marvelous grace, to know you as Lord and Savior, and to know that we've been redeemed by your precious blood. I pray, Father, you touch every heart in this building. I pray you touch my mind and my soul, my body. I pray, God, the Spirit of God might begin to work through me and loose this old tongue for the glory of God, that the lamp might be lifted, that the work of God might be accomplished, and the message might go out, that might find a launching place in some heart that's lost and undone, or maybe out of the will of God. I pray that we find this place today where it needs to be, that you might do your work, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Last Sunday morning, I preached on Preach the Word. And this morning, I want to bring a message, and it's kind of a series of that. I pray that it might help you I'm going to give you a message on the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God. The purpose. Why did God choose men to call men out to preach the Word of God? What's the purpose of it? Well, I'll tell you, God didn't put men in the pulpit just to preach, to take up a space, to make a few words, to say a few things, just to have something to do. Brother, God sends forth a message from the Word of God for a specific purpose, and preaching's not foolishness, amen. It's in the will of God if it's the right kind. Now, there are some foolish preachers, there are some foolish preaching, but not what God calls and God sends. I'll tell you that. Brother, we look at the thing of it this morning. And if we want to find out what the purpose of preaching is, let's go back and get what I call the model preaching, amen. The first time that a man stood up and preached, I was having the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not talking about preaching and prophesying the Old Testament. It's full. But I'm talking about in our New Testament age, in the new day. Brother, after Christ had then been buried and risen and back into heaven, Brother, send you back into heaven. Brother, we have the church now with power. It's empowered in chapter number 2. And the first sermon that was preached on the power of God, old Peter stood up and preached it. We'll call that the model sermon. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, we can get some things to glean from it that ought to help us. The first thing I want to tell you, that the purpose of preaching is to expound the Word of God. That's why God sends forth the preaching, brother, so that we can know and realize and learn, and so that He might put forth and expound the Scriptures. If you'll notice in chapter number 2, and I didn't read all that for the sake of time this morning, but from verse number 17 down to about 30 something verses there, you'll find that Peter standing there. there. And out of that, he gives about 12 or 14 different references to an Old Testament scripture. I want you to know his sermon was full of the Word of God. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a sermon that don't have the Word of God in it. Amen. Well, that's what we ought to be preaching, is the Word of God. And we ought to expound the scriptures. The scriptures is one to make you wise. The scriptures will help you. And the man of God must preach the scriptures of the living God. Well, I'm glad I've got a book to preach. I'm glad I've got a way to tell. I'm glad I've got a story that people need to know. And I want to tell you, Father, we need to expound the scriptures. And Peter expounded the scriptures. Did he not? We look at the Word of God, he expounded them. Brother, I want you to see this. Peter preached them scriptures. Then we go just a little bit further, slip over into Acts chapter number 8. And you'll find a man by the name of Philip in Acts chapter number 8. And if you'll turn down in verse number 35 of chapter number 8, I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Now this is how the first church was carried on. This is how the first preachers preached, brother. They preached the scriptures. And brother, we need to preach the scriptures in this day. People need to know the Word of God. And that's the reason it's important that we know what the Word of God is. And when I refer to the Word of God, I'm referring to the King James Bible, and I make no bones about it. Everything else is a perversion. And brother, as far as I'm concerned, brother, we'll stay with the King James. As for me in my house, in our church, we'll stay with the King James Bible. Say amen in my house.
Amen.
Praise God, that's good enough to shout off of. That's right. I met a little preacher yesterday, and he was over there in the hardware store, and a good man. I appreciate it. And he said, do you have many people come in? I said, we have some visitors every day. He said, we have some visitors come in. But said, when they find out what kind of stand I take on the King James Bible, said they don't hang around. I said, we rented that long time ago. We put King James on our sign out there, and they know it. We don't have to worry about that much. Amen? Praise God. When they come in, they know they're going to get that. And he said, they ought to think that, and they better know when they get here. Say amen. But I'm telling you this morning, Philip here in chapter number 8 and verse number 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, the preaching, the purpose of it is to preach the scripture. The scripture. Some preacher or some fellow told me one time, I was on the radio and as a preacher, and I was referring to the Old Testament. I said something in the Old Testament about the Old Testament, and I used an illustration. And I went to church that night. He said, why, you ought to get out of that Old Testament and get in the New Testament. This is a New Testament era. But I want to tell you, you find the men of God in the New Testament preaching, they're quoting things from the Old Testament. I want you to know, brother, it's the whole canon of the Word of God. Brother, God spoke it from Genesis to Revelation. I can preach it from Genesis to Revelation. I've got the authority. It's the Word of God, and it's the Scriptures. Hallelujah! Is that right? Praise God. I know it applies at different times, different people, and things of that nature, but it's still the Scriptures. You can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. Brother, you can do away with it, but you can't. You can't take a Bible this morning. I'm talking about our Bible. You can't take our Bible and not find Jesus. He's in every page. Amen. He's in every book. Brother, the Word of God's been given. Let's glorify and exemplify and magnify. And in short, the Word of God this morning, that's what preaching's for, is to preach and expound the scriptures. Alright. Philip opened up his mouth and began to speak the same scripture to this little Ethiopian eunuch. Where was he at? He was in Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, to whom his arm of the Lord revealed. And he began to go down to that. That little eunuch couldn't understand it. He drove his chariot by him. And he said, can you understand? He said, how can I accept somebody? Show me and tell me. And then therefore, Philip took the Word of God and went to the same place. He didn't pick a new text. He took the same place, the Scriptures, and began to expound the Word of God. And this little eunuch, brother, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got into the family of God. And Philip baptized him and went on his way. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the men of God, when they started preaching in the early days of the church, they preached the Scriptures.
Amen.
Let me give you another. Praise God. I want to give you some things to fix you up today before you leave, I hope. We'll go back in chapter number 6 and then chapter number 7. The whole entire chapter 7 of the book of Acts deals with a man called Stephen. Now Stephen was one of the first deacons, by the way. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't full of the world, wasn't full of
of trash and foolishness. He is full of God. He began to preach, brother. I'll tell you right now. He stood up and he began to preach in the whole seventh chapter of the book of Acts. He expounded the scriptures. He went back and told, and he used Old Testament scriptures too as well. I'm not saying that's a basis or a foundation of it. I'm just saying that's all they had. They didn't have Paul's writings to preach from. They didn't have all the other things to give. So what they do is they bring the scriptures that they know, the scriptures that they have, and that's what I'm doing today. Praise God, I'm preaching the scriptures I know and the scriptures I have. But my job is to preach the scripture. That's the purpose of the preaching.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And I enjoy it. I'm enjoying every minute. That's right. So what happened? What happened? Philip and Stephen kept preaching. And he got to preaching, and he got to preaching. And they got to sticking their fingers in their ears. And they got to despising what he was saying. He wasn't preaching politics. He wasn't preaching economics. He wasn't preaching denominationalism. He wasn't preaching recreation. He wasn't preaching things that this world wanted to know. He was preaching the scriptures.
Amen.
And then when he preached the scriptures, they picked up stones and began to stone him and snuffed his life out. And the Lord even stood up in glory and welcomed him into the forest. Brother, I'm telling you, preaching the scriptures is the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Point number two. Preaching, brother, the purpose of preaching is to expound the scriptures. Secondly, the purpose of preaching is to disturb the hearers. I know that you like this one. The purpose of preaching is to disturb its hearers. You said, I don't believe that. Well, the first sermon that Peter preached after the day of Pentecost, full of the Holy Ghost, was found in verse 37, said, now when they heard this, what? Heard what he preached. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Strong preaching will make you do one or two things. It'll make you want to get in, or it'll make you want to hunt a back door and get out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need some preaching. And so the purpose of preaching is to disturb those that hear. Somebody said, I like to go down the house of God. I know what you like to do. You like to go down the house of God and turn your hearing aid off. Prop your feet up on the front pew. Amen. And take you a little snooze. Brother, I hope you never, never enjoy sleeping around here. Brother, I hope I can keep you awake enough. Amen. And I hope I disturb you enough that when you go out disturbed.
Amen.
Preaching will disturb you.
Amen.
Well, this day when Peter preached, they didn't go out satisfied. Didn't go out feeling good. They went out feeling bad. There's the one way you can go out feeling good. That's when you get the feeling bad, get the altar, get the feeling good, and then you go out feeling good.
Amen.
But if you bypass that altar, you bypass that word, you bypass that preaching, and you put that over your head and try to ignore what God says to you, you'll go out a miserable man or woman, boy or girl, for the preaching will disturb you. And God designed preaching to disturb your soul.
Amen.
You might.
Ain't you glad you know that?
Amen.
Amen. Preaching was designed to change people. Preaching wasn't designed to pat them on the back and tell them how good they were. Preaching was never designed from the mind of God to make you feel better or to give you a little gloom of or not a gloom, but a glimmer of hope outside the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? You bypass what God says in that book, and I'll assure you, you won't have nothing but trouble down your road. But I'll say this, if you obey and believe what God says, brother, I'll guarantee you God will give you blessing upon blessing. He'll bless your soul.
Amen.
John the Baptist, one of the mildest mannered men you'd ever meet in your life, stood out on the side of the Jordan River and said, oh, ye generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath of the come. He is saying, you bunch of low-down snakes. Real nice man. Jesus stepped up on the scene one day and he said, "Oh, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Can you just see a preacher standing in the pulpit today calling his congregation a bunch of hypocrites in one leaf? Amen. Can you see Jesus walking to the temple one day, picked up the table where there was changing money, and he turned it over and he said, and he run them out of the house of God, got his cords and run them out. He literally run them out. I've seen the time I wanted to do that. I haven't done it yet. But I just kept on preaching. You won't have to get to no court. Just keep preaching the same book. Jesus has to give up to us. I want to tell you right now, you all automatically run them out of the house of God.
Amen. That's right.
So, he said, "Make my house a house of merchandise," he said, "shall be called house of prayer, not a house of merchandise or a den of thieves." He's a real mild man in preaching. Amen. We're in a day when people are looking for a social gospel. They don't want to go to a church that preaches the Word of God like it is to me and like they are. But I found out that a sinner under Holy Ghost preaching gets miserable.
Amen.
I found out when God comes on the scene and the Word of God is beginning to be expounded and the Word of God is exposed and men and women see themselves as they are, I found out sinners don't stand up and say, "Glory to God, I'm glad I'm a sinner." I found out, brother, it disturbs their inner being and they either want to run the altar and say, "God, forgive me," or they want to run out the door and say, "Get out from under this, I don't want to hear it anymore." God designed preaching to disturb you.
Right,
if preaching never disturbed you, you'd live on in sin and go to hell. Preaching's got to disturb you. That man of God disturbed me that day he preached. He showed me I headed to hell. And it's the scriptures that was expounded that showed that to me. I got news for you. If every church preached the Word of God like it ought to, we wouldn't have as many problems we got in our churches. And I'll tell you what, I'll expound on that just a minute. Suppose you come to this church and you hear this preacher preach. You didn't like what he said. So you just get up, get all your furniture, and you move off down to the next little town. You find you another preacher. You get in that church and that preacher opens up and he preaches just like that you heard preached here. I'll tell you what, you'll get miserable there and you'll pick up your duds and want to move to the next place. And if you keep doing that about a half a dozen times, you're either going to do one or two things. You're going to get right realizing you're wrong, or you're going to get out of it and never go back. That's not the way it works in this day. They leave churches and preach the Word of God and go down the road where they preach out of an almanac or something. And they won't preach the same truth. I'll tell you right now, I can give you a lot of churches don't preach what we preach here at this church. You don't have to go far. And if you're looking for something easy and mild, this is not the place to gather your feathers and stay. This is not the place to light upon a limb, brother. This is not the place that you might as well, if you don't want the strong preaching the Word of God, you might as well hunt you somewhere else, because this is where we designed and believe God, that God wants to meet us here and preach to us the truth.
Amen.
I pray I never get so way out in left field learning any better. I want to keep preaching the Word of God. You go down to these churches, you find where you've got a bunch of folks in there. The church is full of social drinkers. I'll mark her down and you tell them, you say what you want to. I don't care how good a man he is. That man filling that pulpit's a hireling and he ain't preaching.
That's right.
I may have some social drinkers in here, but brother, you've got me fooled. Now I find out about it, son. I'm going to be on your case in a hurry. I'll be like a chicken on a June bug on your soul.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to preach to you.
Amen.
You go down the road and find there's a bunch of cross-dressers. And brother, the church is full of cross-dressers. You look up in the choir and there's a little fella with a necklace around his neck and three earrings in his ears. And his eyebrows all waxed up. And he's got a lacy shirt on. And silly-looking shoes. and he walks effeminate like. Uh-huh. And you look over the congregation, there's a woman sitting there dressed like a man. And it's all over the house of God like that. I'll guarantee you, I'll put it on the line to you this morning. There's a preacher in that pulpit that's not preaching the Word of God.
That's right.
That's right. That's it. They like me.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. That's right. Brother, you go down the road, you find where that they do everything and live any old way and get by with everything and they stay there and they're coupled with it. I'll assure you, that man is not preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It'll make you miserable. The Word of God will disturb you. It'll upset you. It'll turn your apple cart over. Amen. The Word of God will get a hold of you. That preaching will get down in there. He get down in your craw. You ever heard say, he got something in his craw? Well, I'll tell you, I preached to a lot of folks, and they got something in their craw. And they ain't got over it yet. They want to drive on the other side of the road when I'm coming through town. You know why? The Word of God got a hold of them. They know I told the truth. That's right. Preaching will disturb, and it disturbed them. Number three, we'll get to another point. Y'all about to die on me. I don't want to give you all the same. I'm going to save something else to preach there later. I reserve the right to preach on this again. All right?
Amen.
I reserve the right to preach on some more of this later. But I see right now, I've just about filled you too full of that, so we'll go somewhere else. Amen. When I was a little boy, they had a little commercial. And they talked about sugar pops. So sugar pops, he'd step up there and he'd shoot it through and through. Sugar through and through. I done shot you through and through. I better move on. Amen. Number three. Preaching is not only designed to expound the Scriptures, but it was designed to disturb the hearers. But number three, preaching was designed to show man his only hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. That's it.
Some of them think their only hope is Muhammad. Some think their only hope is Allah. Some think their only hope is Joseph Smith. Some think their only hope is Mary Baker Eddy. Some think their only hope is the Pope. Some think their hope is some preacher. Some people think their only hope is the church. Some people think their only hope is the Masonic Lodge. Some people think their only hope is some hireling down the road. But I've got news for you. Your only hope, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, your only hope is Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I got the truth.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
Salvation in none other. There's salvation in none other. None other. The Scriptures, I'm expounding the Scriptures. He said there's salvation in none other. Salvation in none other. You want the Scripture on that? I'll give it to you. Acts 4:12. You ought to remember this many years ago. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Go above it and below it. Below it, you'll find out it's not the Pope we're talking about. Go above it and below it. You'll find out it's not a denomination you're talking about. It's Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. That's man's only hope. And God designed preaching to tell men that's their only hope.
Amen.
Yes.
God gave me this illustration many years ago. It goes something like this. Salvation is of God. But to have salvation, there must be some ingredients. You ladies can't bake a cake just out of the blue. You've got to have the right ingredients. Salvation has got the right ingredients. If you don't get the right ingredients in it, you get deceived, and you're deceived and go to hell. It's got to be exactly right. There's no other way. There's not but one way into heaven. There's not a sidetrack. By the way, you'll never find the road to heaven will ever have a detour on it except what the devil's trying to get you off of, and you never find it where they'll have to detour you. In other words, God has never detoured His people in another direction. There's only one way. Now listen. To have salvation, number one, there's got to be two things. And then we'll break those two things down. Number one, you must have a sinner. Number two, you must have a Savior. You can't have salvation without the two. Now let's look at it just a little bit better. Number one, we're talking about you can't have salvation without a sinner. Let's look at something about the sinner. Number one, you can't have a sinner unless you don't have a sinner until you find somebody that knows he's a sinner. That sinner, he may be a sinner, but he'll never come to salvation and never come to grace and to come to terms with the Lord Jesus. He'll never come to the throne of God until, first of all, he recognizes that he is a sinner.
Amen.
That knocks out this little pious crowd that thinks, well, I ain't doing a whole lot bad. I just do a little this and a little that, and I know God's going to overlook that. That'll do away with that junk. You'll never become saved and never get to the Savior until, first of all, you recognize that you're a hell-bound sinner. You have sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's not a just man on the face of the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Number two, you'll never have a sinner get saved until that sinner not only recognizes the sinner, but until he recognizes he's going to hell. Now what we've lived in this society is some people went down the road and they took out them little translations and them little revisions and them little perversions, and they opened it up and they said, well, when you die, you go to the grave. They're not reading out of my Bible. And they've taken the word hell most of the time out of many of the verses and just give it time, they'll get it out of the rest of them before it's over. They're taking a few of them out at a time. They're not taking them all. They want to leave enough. They try to leave enough truth, so what they call truth, in there just to make you believe it. See, the power of a lie is the truth that's put in it. Always remember that. The power of any lie is the truth you put in. There's some things you can tell me, I know it's a point blank lie. But if you put any doubt around that lie and make me think if there's a little truth in it, you've got a little glimmer of hope thinking I might believe the rest of it. Say amen. That's exactly what the devil's done with the other versions. He's put a little glimmer of hope, he thinks, in there just to make them believe it. Brother, I want to tell you, I'm not believing it. I ain't sold out to that. I want you to say, and I want you to know, that a sinner must recognize that there's a hell. He's got to show it, and he must recognize he's going to hell. Not a Sunday school picnic, not to the graveyard. He's going to hell.
Amen.
And if a sinner don't recognize he's a sinner, knows he's going to hell, he'll never get saved. The third thing a sinner's got to recognize is that he cannot, regardless of what power, strength he has, what kind of touch he has with the world, what kind of ambitions he has, he cannot save himself.
Amen.
Any sinner, brother, I got troubles with this crowd that thinks they can save them. I believe I've pastored a lot of folks that believe they have saved themselves. They went to the baptism pool, they think they saved themselves. Somebody else might have performed the baptism, but they think they got saved in their own self. Hear me?
Amen.
You cannot save yourself.
That's right.
You've got to recognize you're a sinner. You've got to recognize this morning you're going to hell. Thirdly, you've got to recognize that you can't save yourself. And number four or five or wherever I'm at, you've got to recognize that you've got to repent of your sin.
Amen.
And after you repent, you've got to believe.
Man.
It comes in that order too. You can't believe and then recognize you're a sinner.
Right.
You'll never believe being a sinner. You've got to You can't. You've got to recognize you're a sinner. You've got to recognize a sinner goes to hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You've got to recognize you can't save yourself. You've got to recognize you've got to repent. You've got to recognize you've got to believe. Now when you get to that state in your life, brother, we're all ready now for the second ingredient. We're ready for the Savior. Now let's just break that down a little bit. See, some folks, they think the church is the Savior. They think their denomination's the Savior. They think water baptism's their Savior. They think good works is their Savior. But let's look it down. To be a Savior, one who saves, that's by the way what it says, one who saves. And that's what we're looking for, salvation, right? And preaching is supposed to help us see that Christ is the only hope for mankind in this salvation. But for a Savior to be able, or to save, he first of all must be able to save. I give you scripture. He said he'd save to the uttermost.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. That means there's nobody that's exempt from what God can do. You said, how do you know that Jesus is the Savior? I read in the Word of God, he's the only one that ever came from heaven to this earth, born of a virgin, walked upon this earth for 33 and a half years, died on Calvary, went to the grave, and rose on the third day on his own power, and ascended back up into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and now calling people into salvation. You can't find nobody else doing that.
Right.
Muhammad didn't do it. Joseph Smith ain't got up yet. Mary Baker Eddy ain't got up here. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus is alive forevermore. You said, well, that ain't good enough. I've got to have some more credentials. Let me give you a few more. One day, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, one day, let this be, and it was. He said, we're going to separate the firmament. And brother, you find the land appearing. You find the birds are flying in the air. You see the fish in the sea. But I want you to know, here are you and me. We're set here. We just didn't happen to be a mass that plopped down on the earth one day and set this one from a tail like a monkey and said, we're a man. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we was created in the image of God.
Amen.
One day, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said one day, let this be, and it was. He said, we're going to separate the firmament. And brother, you find the land appearing. You find the birds are flying in the air. You see the fish in the sea. But I want you to know, here are you and me. We're set here. We just didn't happen to be a mass that plopped down on the earth one day and set and swung from a tail like a monkey and said, we're a man. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we was created in the image of God.
Amen.
That's enough for me.
Hey,
he's the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
I can't understand why evolution they think so important and so great, you know, that one day man came from monkeys. How come it still looks like something would get crossed up in society? Looks like something would cross up and every once in a while you'd find another monkey changing into a man. Except for, I believe I've seen it reverse. I believe I've seen some men turning into monkeys. Amen. You hear me? I'm saying this morning that to have a Savior, you've got to have one that's able. Number two, you don't have to have one that's able to save, which is Jesus Christ, but you've got to have somebody that's willing to save. If he's able, and don't want to save you, you're still not going to get a sinner. But I want to tell you, my Lord fits the bill. He not only is able to save, but he's willing to save. He's not willing to innocent perish, but all come to repentance. And but if you'll come to him, he would in no wise cast you out. Amen. He said he wouldn't. We got some Savior now that's saved. He's able. And we got a Savior that's with him. And you put a sinner and a Savior together. I mean a real sinner and a real Savior together. And I want you to know after a while, there's going to be some reproduction.
Amen.
And out of that union, there's going to come a saint of God.
Amen.
Somebody that's changed.
Amen.
Somebody that walks different, talks different, lives different, that is different. Praise God.
Amen.
And so are some of you. Hopefully. You check out and see where you are. Preacher is to expound the scriptures to disturb those that hear and to present Jesus Christ as man's only hope. Number four, preaching is to present and to produce conviction. I believe the preaching of the Word of God is to convict men of sin.
That's right.
It takes the Holy Ghost to convict men and women. They can't get saved when they want to. They've got to be convicted of sin first, and the Spirit of God draw them.
Amen.
And the preaching of the Word of God is what God has designed to convict you of your sin. And to show you that you're a sinner, and to make you tremble, and make you disturbed, and make you upset, and make you desire the Lord, and make you want to miss hell, and make you want to gain heaven.
Amen.
We could preach all day on that, because that's something missing in our churches.
Amen.
Number five. Preach it. And I got about 10 or 15. I'm going to give you five real quick. Ain't you glad? But preaching is to warn of the dangers of sin.
Amen.
In twofold, in a twofold manner. Number one is to warn us of sins. And it's to warn us of sin. It's to warn us as an unbeliever and to warn us as a believer. Scripture does all that. Preaching does that.
Amen.
See, God sends forth this message to convict the sinner of sin, the S-I-N of unbelief. But He also sends forth the preacher that He might warn His people of sins that they commit.
Yes.
That they can confess before, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Let's remember this, and I don't have time to get into this. This is a real doctrinal issue. Well, it's not an issue. Here's a real doctrinal truth. In the book of John, chapter 1, John the Baptist baptizes. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Sin. Didn't have an S on it. Sin. What is that sin? The sin of unbelief, not believing in His Son. But then over in 1 John, he said, if we confess our sins, he's talking to the believer, those things that you commit, the deeds of your flesh. So the sin problem is the problem you deal with when you recognize you're a sinner and you come to the Savior.
Amen.
And the sin problem is that you have in your daily life that's not clean before God, but you've got to go to the altar for.
Amen.
And some of y'all feel dirty. I don't know about you, but I've never got too comfortable being around people that ain't took a bath in 6 months. You smell them before they get there, and you smell them for a day or two after they leave. And get stuck in your nose. Hear me now. Nothing like good fresh bath to clean you up. And every child of God needs to do that. I know some saints today that haven't been to the altar in years. So-called saints. I got my doubts. Not being judgmental. But I do think God's people have to take a bath every now and then.
Amen.
That's right.
I see them sit back and say, "Oh, so-and-so goes to the altar every time." Well, what you going to be so critical for? You ain't been in years.
Right.
Some of that they got ought to rub off on you.
Amen.
You ought to catch on to what they're doing. Maybe they're trying to set an example for you. Amen. You hear me? I believe this morning God sends forth this message to warn us of sin and the dangers of sin. And I wish I could preach on that. But we'll just have to leave that for another time. Trust, I showed you, I reserve the right to finish this later.
Amen.
I reserve the right to finish this later. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Ask them to come to the instruments this morning. And I pray the hand of God be upon you as we assemble ourselves at the house of the Lord. And that's what we've done this morning. I'd ask you to stand to your feet, please, while we give this invitation that you might hear the Lord
as he speaks to your heart. I pray the touch of God be upon you, and the hand of God show you your faults and your failures as you come to the house of the Lord on this Lord's day.